Hi, and welcome to Wild and Woke Podcast. Every Monday, we talk about true crime, conspiracies, paranormal phenomena. Do you know where I was going with that?
Now I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's phenomenon or phenomena.
Okay, so I'm going to be a nerd. I think phenomenon is one thing and phenomena is the plural.
Okay, so paranormal phenomena, and it just sounds wrong. I've said it so many times. And everything weird or unexplained. We are your hosts. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Susan.
And here we go. Like saying them so many times in my head, I'm like, phenomena. Da, 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 da.
Now all I can hear is the Muppet song.
Phenomena. Yes.
Phenomena.
I thought about introducing the Muppets to the little boy that I nanny, but he's only like 2 and I just feel like he wouldn't fully appreciate it.
He won't fully appreciate it, but at the same time, like, those are the kinds of things that they don't fully appreciate them, but then they're like indoctrinated into the right things.
Well, we just started watching Sesame Street because I found out that they still play Sesame Street on PBS Kids. So I downloaded the app and we switched from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, which is still a good show, but it's not Sesame Street.
No, it is definitely not Sesame Street. Okay, yeah. So important question.
Yeah.
Are Sesame Street monsters Muppets?
Oh, I mean,
they're Jim Henson creation, yet they are not technically Muppets.
I just fucked my mind up. Hard. I guess.
Trust me, the first time somebody asked me that, I was like, yes, no, wait.
I guess you couldn't call them Muppets. Is Muppets like trademarked?
I don't know. I really don't. Like, I mean, they kind of are Muppets, but at the same time, they're not technically, like, what about Fraggle Rock? Are they Muppets?
I've never seen Fraggle Rock. Sorry.
Okay, if you like
Muppets. I think I have to apologize to you at least, like, once an episode about something.
If you like Muppets and you like Sesame Street, you've got to watch Fraggle Rock.
What was it on?
I don't even know what it was originally. Was it originally on HBO?
Wrong person. You're asking me and I'm the wrong person. I don't know. I could look it up.
Oh, I don't even know. I'm pretty sure that it's on something now. Hang on. I have an app for this. What are you drinking, by the way?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh. I don't know why I thought it was something more exciting than that.
Oh, cheer wine. You thought it was cheer wine?
I don't know what I thought. I just, the can didn't immediately look familiar. Probably because I don't drink Diet Dr. Pepper.
I don't either. I usually drink regular Dr. Pepper, but I'm trying to be good. So instead of buying a 24-pack of Dr. Pepper, I bought a 24-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper.
You know diet drinks are way worse for you
than I know, Susan. Let me live my life.
I mean, live your life, but drink real Dr. Pepper in the process. Or don't. I have a friend who loves Diet Dr. Pepper. Like, he does not like regular Dr. Pepper. He loves Diet Dr. Pepper.
That's how my husband... I'm tolerating this, but my husband loves... He hates how sweet Mountain Dew is, but he likes Mountain Dew, so he prefers Diet Mountain Dew, which I think tastes like pee.
I've never had Diet Mountain Dew, and it sounds terrible.
It's horrible.
I did see that there's a watermelon Mountain Dew, and I'm Is it good?
Let me tell you, it is.
It sounds like liquid candy.
It's liquid candy. That's all it is. Okay. The amount of sugar. You know what it tastes like? It tastes like a Starburst, like a pink Starburst. It's a lot for me.
Okay, but I love pink Starburst. Okay, so Apple TV is where Fraggle Rock is currently streaming.
Just randomly on Apple TV, like, oh yeah, they have a...
Is Apple TV Plus? Is that something different? I don't have Apple anything. I have no idea.
My bosses have it. I'm not sure. It's also on Amazon Prime for $1.99. And YouTube for $1.99. And Google Play for $1.99.
Totally worth. Oh, an episode for $1.99? That's too much.
I don't know if that's an episode. Probably.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at pictures. I think I have seen bits and pieces of this because I know the girl with the little pom-poms.
What's it's very much in like an 80s fever dream situation.
Yeah. I bet my husband watched this when he was little.
I loved Fraggle Rock.
Did you ever watch Dinosaurs?
With the not the mama?
Not the mama, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching that. I don't really remember. I mean, mostly I remember the baby and his little taglines.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like that's the whole show.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, it's just Roseanne, but they're dinosaurs.
What an amazing example.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so speaking of things that we have and haven't watched, have you watched Haunting of Bly Manor yet?
Yes, we watched both of those, Haunting of Bly Manor and Haunted Hill House.
The Haunting of Hill House. I have an episode and a like three quarters of an episode and one full episode left of Bly Manor. I was like, okay, I have to just turn this off because otherwise I'm going to have to finish the series before we can podcast.
Yeah. No, it's a really, I mean, it's good. It's not my favorite. I don't think it's scary at all.
It got me with a couple of jump scares.
Yeah.
Which is what gets me really anyway, is jump scares.
Yeah.
Mostly I'm analyzing while I'm watching because the beginning of it is The Turn of the Screw by Henry James. Like that's right. Kind of what it's based on.
Yeah.
But now that I'm almost through with it, I'm like, except this is sort of like The Turn of the Screw meets Skeleton Key meets The Others.
Oh, I want to rewatch The Skeleton Key. That was a good movie.
I really like, and I just keep seeing these things that people are saying Jordan Peele needs to remake Skeleton Key. And I am 100% on board with that.
Get Out was such a great movie.
Amazing.
Wow. Man.
It's already a good movie, but his spin would like.
Yeah. Also, he would cast. Like, it would be an amazing cast. Oh, it would be amazing. I will tell you, and I told my boss this the other day because we talk about movies sometimes, and I'm the same with you. I'm like, oh, I've never seen that. And he's like, what? So I told him I will watch psychological thrillers. You put a psychological thriller in front of me and I will watch it. But I can't do like gore. But those are the movies that I will watch.
I love like classic slasher movies. But I do not love like the nouveau torture porn movies, like the Saw movies.
No.
I saw the first one. Fine.
It's and too Eli much. Roth,
like, sir, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know.
Also, Rob Zombie, he makes some weird fucking movies, like The Hills Have Eyes. That movie, I will not drive out west because of that movie.
It's just so gross. Like, I don't like. Just like visually disgusting if there's no point to it.
Yeah.
If there's like, if it's necessary for some reason, okay, fine. But like The Hills Have Eyes, it was just like, hey, you thought that was gross? Hang on.
I got another one for you.
It's like, I'm not scared. I just don't want to look at this. It's really empty.
I think you will like the ending of,
Bly Manor.
Bly Manor, yeah. I wanted to call it Bly House.
I really loved Haunting of Hill House. Because again, I mean, it's a twist on classic literature, so I'm all about that.
I'm trying to remember because did you know that they have like the same cast?
Yeah. There's like some crossover, and I'm waiting to see if there's more than just like cat. Like I feel like there's going to be some additional crossover, but I haven't decided for sure yet.
Okay. I'm not going to give anything away.
Don't tell me. I started it, the first episode, like months ago. Uh-huh. And like 5 minutes in, I was like, this is Turn of the Screw.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is like a camp out, do nothing else, watch this. Not like I'm doing six other things and I'm going to half-ass turn this on. Like, no, no. I have to actually watch this because I love that story. It's one of my favorites.
Speaking of books.
Yes.
We're going to have, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, which you should, I don't know why if you listen to us, you wouldn't. That's where we're extra funny.
We're delightful.
Fucking delightful. Anyway, we just launched a book club and we just picked our first book and it's The Shadows by Alex North.
Yes.
Which have you read that?
No, that's why I was like, can this be our first one? Because it's literally sitting on my shelf looking at me like.
And you know what? That's the only one of his books like that I didn't have. So I just ordered it. It's okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. I would have read it anyway.
You had them all. That's why I was like, ooh, let's just do this one then.
Well, so I didn't answer you when you texted me that. And then the next morning on my way out the door for work, I was like looking. And I was like, of course. It's like.
Of course. It's the one. I have The Shadows and. Is it The Ninth Patient? Is that what it's called? The Silent Patient?
Silent Patient, yeah.
Silent That's Patient. That's a good one. I have something else that has Ninth in it. I don't think it's his, but I think they're next to each other or something.
And Alex North, he's like, I think it's a man. Is it a man?
I think so, yeah.
He does really good psychological, like, twist, which I don't know why I just thought of twist. which I really like. But anyway, we have that and we're not doing it. It's not going to cost anything. It's not on our Patreon. It's free. I'm going to update everybody on social media, but we do have a Facebook group, which makes it a little bit easier. We already have two or three people who are going to do it with us. So yeah, I think it'd be fun.
I'm excited about that.
Me too. And we also have a new Patreon.
Yay.
Hey, our patron? Patreon?
Patreon patron?
Patreon patron? Yeah. Her name is Cassandra, and she's been listening to us since, like, the very beginning when me and Ariana were doing it, and she lives in Canada. Awesome. So I'm very excited. So, go join our Patreon so you can hear our cult series, which is going to be awesome. I have, like, four more interviews lined up for that, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, we have
about.
One next week, right?
Yeah, we have one next week. We're busy, like, the next 2 months.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff, like, scheduled out. I have it on the calendar on my phone.
That's so official as shit.
It is. Should we actually talk about what we were going to talk about this week?
We should, yeah. We've been going for about 20 minutes, so it's time to get started.
Yeah, we should probably actually do things.
Remember when we...
Guys, this is what happens when we don't talk to each other for two. Like, we record, and then it's like we don't record, like, within 7 days. Then we just have too many things to talk about.
Also, do you remember when we were like, okay, we're not going to talk at the beginning anymore. We're going to do a mid-show break.
We failed at that completely.
Hard. Okay, so we're kind of doing similar things. They go hand in hand. So you're talking about reincarnation, and I'm going to do some of my favorite, like, children reincarnation stories.
Yeah, and that's kind of what mine is too, but this is just kind of one specific case. Should I go? You want me to go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, so I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to reincarnationresearch.com because that is where I'm getting all of my information on this case from. There are a lot of other places where this is mentioned. But this is a very well done, concise telling of this story, I guess. If you want to actually go read the source material or look into any other cases, this is a whole website, reincarnationresearch.com.
I'm interested to see if we are doing the same story.
I sent you the one I was telling you about, didn't
you? You just told me it was about reincarnation.
Oh, I thought I sent you the link.
Maybe you did. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
We'll figure it out. I mean, there are so many of these that it would kind of be surprising if it happened to be the exact same one.
Yeah.
The interesting thing to me about this case is that they were able to confirm some details, which is not totally unique. I mean, that's something that happens. But it's always interesting to me when they're able to actually, like, make some specific connections and confirm some details that there's no reason that, you know, a child would be able to know anything about. I was trying to decide which order to tell this story in. I think we'll start with Ryan Hammonds. He's the person who is, has memories of a past life. He was born in Muskogee, Oklahoma in 2004. His family is Christian, which is only important because the person who he has memories of was not, which is just kind of an interesting difference.
Yeah.
His speech development was delayed due to some medical issues. So, after he had to have his adenoids surgically removed when he was, well, I say he started speaking, like speaking in full sentences and being able to speak clearly when he was 4. And that's when he started talking about his past life. He kept telling his parents that he wanted to go home to Hollywood. And he kept begging his parent, his mother, to take him there so he could visit what he called his other family, including 3 adopted sons who he was very concerned about. He told them that he had 2 sisters, 1 biological child, who was a daughter from his first marriage, and then the 3 adopted sons. He told them that he worked for an agency where people changed their names and kind of indicated that he had been in a position of power because he would make he would make statements to his parents like, "Do you know who I am? If you mess with me, you'll never work in this town again." Which, can you just imagine that coming out of your 4-year-old's mouth? Like, you're never going to work in this town again. He also told them that he lived in a big house with a swimming pool that was on a street that had the name Rock in it. He also said that he had traveled by ship, visited Paris, and seen the Eiffel Tower. He said that he had danced on Broadway and liked to demonstrate tap dance routines. In kindergarten, his pretend play was directing movies. He talked about going to Chinatown, and when his parents first took him to a Chinese restaurant, he knew how to use chopsticks without anyone explaining to him how they worked.
Oh, wow.
He had a fascination with sunglasses, which apparently he said that he also had in his past life because he had been sunburned often. And he talked about not liking Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Mind you, this child was born in 2004. He also, in addition to talking about his memories of a past life, he told his mother about seeing her from heaven and knowing that he had known her in a previous life, and he chose her to be his mother so that he could take care of her.
You know what? That is amazing. I actually I was going to do him. when I was reading about him, I didn't read that. That's amazing.
Yeah, he talks about, he told his mother about remembering having been in her womb and asked her why it is that she wanted him to be a girl. He said that he watched her crying for a long time when she found out that she was going to have a boy.
Oh my God.
And she said she confirmed that that was true. And she had no idea she had no other explanation for how he could possibly know about that happening, because she, of course, had never told him about it, and his father had never told him about it. It wasn't anything, I mean, probably by the time he was born, my guess is that that was kind of a forgotten episode until it was brought up again.
Yeah.
But that's one of those, like, in the moment things, and then when it's over, you don't really even think about it anymore.
Oh my gosh, how crazy. That reminds me of what we talked about with Abby, about her having, like, the psychic connection to her son.
Yes, exactly. Considering all of these things and the number of uncanny things that he was able to talk about, his mother decides that she wants to investigate further into his past life memories, and she contacts a doctor named Jim Tucker. Well, she does contact a doctor, but she also had been researching books on Hollywood from her local library. They looked through pictures, and she looked through them with Ryan, and they came across a photo from the movie Night After Night, and Ryan recognized one of the men in the photo as himself. And they have a picture of him on this website. Ryan also said that there was another man named George and a third man in the photo who was a friend of his who was a cowboy and starred in cigarette commercials.
And this is all coming from a 4-year-old. Like, a 4-year-old doesn't know if his parents don't smoke. He doesn't know what a cigarette is.
I don't know how long how, like, from the time he first started talking about it until she started, in, like, really kind of investigating it and being in contact with Dr. Tucker, who's a psychiatrist. I'm not sure how long that went on exactly before they were looking into it more seriously.
One thing that I also read when they were looking through that book, he saw a picture of Rita Hayworth, who was a 1940s era like icon. She died in 1987, and he was able to like pick her out and say, "Oh, that's Rita," or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read that he did that. There were multiple other, like, he was able to recognize lots of people. However, I mean, you know, that's kind of,
yeah,
even a child might have seen somebody in a movie or something like that. However, seeing himself, unfortunately, in the book and in the movie credits, the person who he recognized as himself was not, they couldn't find a name associated with it. With all of this information, she contacts Jim Tucker, who was an MD. He's an academic psychiatrist at the University of Virginia. And he has actually taken over the work of the late Ian Stevenson, who was also researching reincarnation and past life memories. So when he was 5 is when they met with Dr. Tucker the first time to study his case. And a television production company that was making a program about children with past life memories actually accompanied the doctor. They start trying to figure out who is the person that they actually, who he was able to identify as himself. Based on facial resemblance, they had some production company staff look through a whole lot of other things trying to find, trying to match this person from the picture from Night After Night. Okay, so they made a tentative identification of the person who was the actor. Mm-hmm. They thought they might have figured out who it was. So they took him past that person's home, but he did not recognize it. However, he did recognize the home of Wild Bill Elliott. So what they decided is that this was, they made a mistake in identifying the person who they thought he had recognized. But they start working with a film archivist who eventually was able to identify the mystery man in the photo as Marty Martin. So at this time, Ryan is 6. So this is gone. We're already like 2 years into this.
Yeah.
At the time they get Marty Martin's name. So this is, I'm going to back up a little bit and tell you a little bit about who Marty Martin is. Mm-hmm. Marty Martin was born in Philadelphia in May of 1903, and his born name is Morris Kolinsky. His parents were Jewish from the Ukraine and had recently immigrated to the United States, which is why it's interesting that he was born to a Christian family, because he knew some things about the Jewish faith that children in Christian homes wouldn't have any reason to know. Morris, who later became Marty, had 2 sisters, one of whom died in childhood. And Morris, along with his surviving sister, moved to New York to go into show business. Morris tap danced on Broadway and then relocated to LA, where he took the stage name Marty Martin. In 1932, he had a part in the movie Night After Night, whose main star was George Raft. Though Marty's role did not involve any spoken lines, he was ultimately not able to make a living as an actor, so he founded the Marty Martin Talent Agency. So an agency where people change their names, that's what they did. And his agency was very successful. One of the actors that Marty befriended was Gordon Nance, who made cowboy movies using the stage name Wild Bill Elliott, which is the house he recognized. And Nance also did commercials for Viceroy cigarettes. So he was spot on with that as well. Marty Martin was married 4 times, ultimately accumulating 1 biological daughter and 5 stepchildren. With his 4th marriage, Marty legally adopted his 3 most recent stepchildren, who were all boys. So again, that was crazy. Exactly, he kept saying he was worried about his 3 stepsons. They lived in Beverly Hills on Roxbury Drive. So he Ooh. Knew he had that the street had rock in it. He had that right as well. And they did have a large house with a pool in the backyard. Marty loved the beach and had an extensive collection of sunglasses, partially because he apparently suffered from sunburns frequently. He loved Chinese food. He loved fine clothes and travel, sailing to Europe on the Queen Mary, which is a fabulous connection I was not totally prepared for.
That's amazing.
I know. And he did visit Paris several times. He also was a Republican, so he probably would not have liked Roosevelt very much.
Back when Republicans were just Republicans?
Yeah, yeah. When they weren't terrorists, they were just a political party. Yeah.
Or cult members, or you know.
No cults. Yeah, they were just a regular, standard, run-of-the-mill political party.
Back when here's the thing. Back when Republicans were not even that conservative.
Right. It's true though. So Marty Martin developed leukemia and died in a hospital on December 25th. Oh, that's sad. I read it as 23rd at first. I was like, oh, that's right before Christmas, but it's 25th, which is even worse. He was 61, and that was in 1964.
Oh.
So the things that Ryan knew about him are impressive. They take more than one trip to California. And on one of these trips, Ryan has a chance to meet Marty Martin's biological daughter. She was only 8 when her father passed away, and she was 57 when she met Ryan. But Ryan said that he immediately recognized her face.
Oh my God.
Go ahead.
I thought that I read something about how the psychologist or psychiatrist got in touch with Marty Martin's sister, and they were able to confirm like 55 details.
I don't know if it's 55. I know that they contacted like multiple family members, including the daughter.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure if the sister was the one that was able to confirm a bunch of details or not. They've done some follow-up interviews with other psychologists, mostly over the phone. Ryan was actually 11 when he talked to another psychologist named Dr. Haroldson, and he noted at the time that Ryan loved music from the 50s and that he affiliates with the Republican Party, which, look, let's face it, he's an 11-year-old in Oklahoma. That's not terribly surprising. Not shocked by that.
Not
However, the interesting thing was he was very interested in studying more about Judaism, which was a source of some conflict for his family because, obviously, they were very Christian.
Yeah, they were like devout Baptists, right?
I think that's right. I don't have, but this one doesn't talk about, it doesn't really talk specifically about their religion, just that they were definitely Christian, and yet he had some information and kind of new things and was interested in Judaism in a way that most Christian children, and again, I mean, I don't want to harp on it, but like, if y'all are not from the U.S. South, kids are frequently very indoctrinated.
Oh, for sure.
Like, in religion and politics, which probably sounds really weird to lots of people, that you would indoctrinate your children politically. It is weird. But it's so normal in this part of the country that, I mean, and this is how we end up with extremists, right? Because you start indoctrinating children into a political party when they're 5 years old.
Yeah.
And they confuse it, I think, with religion.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes this is what we are. Which is such a weird thing to, like, be a political party. Like, so they also talk about how there are some things that are kind of common to other reincarnation and past life cases. One of them is the change of religion, which is kind of interesting that would be a common denominator.
Yeah.
Another is talking about his spirit self before he was born. I'm talking about choosing his mother and knowing things that happened during her pregnancy with him. He also having a talent that seems to come from a past life is a common thing. His were the tap dance, being able to tap dance, which tap dancing is freaking hard.
Mm-hmm. Like, I did that for a long time.
Did you really? I'm oh my God, so yeah. fascinated by it. I was never a dancer, but tap dancing always sounded so cool to me.
I danced for 15 years.
Oh, wow. See, I was never into dance. And I think I like tap dance because it's like, I was a percussionist. Yeah. And tap dancing is just percussion. Like,
yeah. It was really fun. It was hard. Like, it was very hard, but, oh my gosh, I loved it.
So hard. But, and what a weird, I mean, of all the things that you could possibly just kind of know how to do, tap dancing is not normal.
Yeah.
And the using chopsticks is also one of the things that they talk about with that. And then being able to identify people that your past life self would have known, which his daughter, but I kind of think, I mean, yeah, he says that he recognized his daughter, but to me, talking about the three stepsons,
yeah,
is, I think, even more impactful because that's so specific.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or three adopted stepsons, I guess I should say. So yeah, I mean, that's his story. And like I said, that's definitely not the only one that was able to confirm things, but it was just, this one is so interesting to me because it includes so many elements that you see in a lot of reincarnation memory stories.
Yeah. That is a really good one.
And his fascination with Hollywood and saying things like, you'll never work in this town again.
I'd be interested to know, like, I mean, obviously, in all these stories, if you're into reincarnation and you've heard some of these stories before, you know that as a child gets older, they don't remember as much. So I'd be interested to know, like, what he's doing today and if that's affected him at all.
I think that kind of depends on how much the people around the children engage with it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that it goes away. I think it's more likely to go away if they're kind of like, oh, okay, sure, whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if maybe he would retain more of those memories.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now. We could see.
Well, he was born in 2005. He's 16.
Yeah, and I think I think that it may be difficult to find. They've been public about it. They've been like on the Today Show and they were on whatever. I'm not sure which TV show was present when Dr. Tucker went to meet with them. But I think that they were on that show as well. I kind of want to think it's Unsolved Mysteries, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
Something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of think I've seen it on Unsolved Mysteries, but there are so many that are similar that it might have been a different one. They do talk about the fact that even though, you know, this is post-internet age, that a lot of the information that he had would not have been on the internet.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's also the fact that it was difficult even to identify the person because, you know, even once he saw a picture, he wasn't credited in that movie. It's not like it was somebody super famous. This mentions in an interview, and this is 2015. He says that his prior life still feels real to him, but as time goes on, it's kind of fading.
Okay, yeah.
So that checks out. I mean, I would think it's probably like a lot of other things. The more that the more you talk about it, the more it's able to stay kind of fresh.
Yeah.
But once if you stop thinking about, I mean, I don't know, I guess it's like any other memory. Something that happened 2 days ago is a fresh memory, but then 6 weeks later, you might still remember it happened, but it's not like you don't have the same level of memory that you had just a few days after it happened. And you were right. Baptists, they definitely were Baptists, which is, I mean, again.
Yeah. Oklahoma. And they Baptists, really Christianity, there's no reincarnation like there is in other religions.
Mm-mm.
So that was odd, I'm sure, for his family.
But I'm also very impressed with the fact that they investigated it as far as they did and took it seriously instead of just kind of brushing it off.
I am too. From what I read, it was his mom who really was doing the research because she was kind of scared to bring his dad into it because, you know, I don't think she wanted him to.
I think that, I mean, once your child is like, yeah, I remember picking you as my mom. And by the way, how come you cried so much when I found out I was a boy? Like, oh.
Oh.
Because that's the kind of, I mean, you could brush off almost everything else, but I don't know how you could ever brush off something that specific that you know is right.
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to for sure.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to do James Leininger. Yeah. So he was born in 1998 in the San Francisco Bay Area. Later, his family moved to Louisiana, which is where he grew up. So when James turned 2, and keep in mind, I work with a 21-month-old, so that's almost 2. They are just learning their vocabulary. They're not really able to put full sentences together. They don't know their ABCs. They barely know 1, 2, 3s. So once James turned 2, he started to have these really vivid nightmares that would wake him up out of a dead sleep, and he would scream, "Airplane crash, plane on fire, little man can't get out." What? Like, as a parent, I would be freaking out that my 2-year-old can say that.
Yeah, I would be freaked out. I mean, even if they could speak in full sentences a normal day, like, that would still be freaky. Right?
So the nightmares continued. They continued on for about 5 weeks, and his mother eventually asked him who it was that couldn't get out of the plane, because every time he was saying, "plane on fire, little man can't get out." And James told her it was him that couldn't get out. He said, "me," when she asked him. This was followed by his father asking him who shot the plane down. And James, at 2 years old, said, "the Japanese."
How would they know that the plane was shot down?
They might have talked about it. I don't know. That's just kind of what they might have talked about. Like, well, did the plane crash? Or so I don't really know that detail. But then he asked how he knew it was the Japanese. And James said, because of the big red sun. Because, you know, on the Japanese fighter planes, they had a big big red dot, and he called it the big red sun. So considering James was only 2 years old, his parents said that he never watched really anything besides children's shows. The parents themselves were not really into World War II. They didn't know anything about planes. All of that was really odd. And when James went to go play with toys, he only wanted to play with toy planes. Like, that was his favorite toy, is a toy plane. He even pointed out parts on the plane that a 2-year-old should not know. Like, his mom and him were watching. Once they started to get into him talking about planes and all this odd stuff happening, they watched like a fighter pilot from World War II, and he pointed out where the drop tank was. Like, she called it something really basic, and he pointed out and said, "no, that's a drop tank."
I don't even know what a drop tank is.
Me either. Neither a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old does not know what a drop tank is.
No, there's no way to know that without it coming from somewhere else.
So they got in touch with a therapist who specialized in children and their past lives. And she, you know, just wanted them to keep asking him questions, really like open-ended questions, not so much yes or no. And they said that he would get more talkative about his past life when he was kind of like dreary, getting ready for bed, like almost like it was coming back to him. And once they started talking about his past life openly with him, he stopped having nightmares.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like he was able to, I don't know, I guess talk about it and like relive certain parts.
Yeah.
So yeah, they did start to talk to him more, and he told his dad the plane he used to fly was a Corsair, and this is a quote, "they used to get flat tires all the time." And I mean, if you talk to historians, they'll tell you that yes, Corsairs from that time period, that was what they were known for. Their tires would go flat. How the fuck does a 2-year-old know that?
There's no way.
No. Okay, so yeah, James was able to tell his parents the name of another pilot he was friends with, and that was Jack Larson. He says, the two were stationed together at Natoma Bay. They fought on Iwo Jima, and then James said that's where he died.
Wow.
So, yeah. Bruce, both of his parents are also very, very highly educated. And so they were like, this is malarkey. Like, there's no way. Like, this cannot happen. But once he started to come out with these crazy details, like a child does not know where what Natoma Bay is or Iwo Jima. Like, no. I was born in 1991, and I only knew of that because my grandpa was on Iwo Jima, but that's the only way I knew about it. And I didn't know about that till I was like in middle school.
I was going to say, but when you were two, you definitely were not rattling that off.
No. Okay, so Bruce, which was James's father's name, he became obsessed because of these like insane details that his two-year-old was talking about. So he did a lot of research, and he found out the only pilot from the Natoma Bay squadron, maybe, mm-hmm. killed at Iwo Jima, his name was James M. Hudson.
Wow.
Yeah. The family was just absolutely blown away by all these like puzzle pieces that were falling into place coming out of a two-year-old's mouth. So they contacted Hudson's sister. Her name is Anne Barron. And after confirming all these details, she is also convinced that James was her brother reincarnated. They went on to write a book. It's called Soul Survivor, The Reincarnation of a World War II Fighter Pilot. So yeah, they went on to write this book. And there was a lot of controversy surrounding it just because people said that the parents made the whole story up. But the fact that the therapist can can be there to say, like, I was part of this. Like, this, he really recalled all these things. It's just crazy. I've always been obsessed with reincarnation stories coming from young children. I also have another. It's like a super short one. It's the Pollock twins. Have you ever heard of them?
I don't think so. That doesn't sound familiar.
I was going to do just a quick TikTok about it because there's not much to it. So basically, in England in 1957, sisters Jacqueline, who was 11, and Jacqueline was 6 and Joanna was 11, they died in a car accident. The parents were devastated, but then a year later, they ended up having twin daughters that they named Gillian and Jennifer. They were absolutely identical, but they had different birthmarks. Jennifer had a birthmark on her waist that matched a birthmark that Jacqueline had. She also had a birthmark on her forehead that resembled a scar that Jacqueline had.
Wow. It's
the first odd coincidence, right?
Yeah.
So when the girls are about 2, which is when most of these reincarnation stories start to like develop, when kids can start to talk, they started asking for toys that they didn't have. But those were toys that their sisters who had passed away used to play with. How do you know that those details?
So strange. Like, you would, I feel like, as the, like, the parents would feel like they were going crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And also,
I would be like, am I somehow creating this? Like, have I somehow, like, given them cues on some of this? Like, how is this happening?
You have to question that when stuff like this is happening.
I would.
So the twins, who were, like I said, really young at the time, like less than school age, they would point out landmarks when they passed them that they had never passed before. Like, when they passed the sister's school, they knew exactly what it was without any, without ever having been there. They just knew that was a school, and that's where their deceased sisters went, which is absolutely mind blowing.
Yeah.
They definitely. Also, the craziest thing, I think, is when they saw moving cars coming towards them, they would panic. They would say, the car's coming to get us, because that's how their sisters died.
That's so sad.
And I don't think, because this is a really popular case, like doctors even got involved. I think actually, Dr. Ian Stevenson, didn't you mention him earlier?
There was an Ian, one of the doctors is Ian something.
Well, the doctor that got involved with this case was Ian Stevenson. He was born in 1918 and died in 2007, so maybe. But he wrote a book in 1987 called Children Who Remember Previous Lives. He talked about 14 different cases, and these girls were one of the cases that he talked about.
Yeah. Dr. Tucker, that met with Ryan's family, took over the work of Dr. Stevenson when he passed.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are a lot of psychologists who specialize in reincarnation. And like we talked about, I would love to do a past life session. I mean, like.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting.
Those are the only two I have. Those are probably my two favorite ones. I think the one that got me interested in kids' stories is I saw that James went on YouTube.
There's another one. I wonder if I can find it quickly enough. I think it's more complicated. I'm not sure if there's a quick. There's a child who remembered his life on the Titanic.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't know who it is, the kid's name. There was also one where the parents actually took him to the country that he's claimed he came from, and he led them either from the airport or from the boat. They threw the country town that he had never been to the house he said he lived in, and like he was talking about all the details of the house on the way there, and when they got there, it was exactly what he was recalling.
That's just wild. Yeah. I don't know if this is this. Yeah. Okay. This is the one. So there's a book, okay. So William Barnes is the name of the person who has the past life memories. He is the author of the book, Thomas Andrews, A Past Life Memory. He started having spontaneous past life memories as a child. And he writes, quote, "At the age of 4, I drew a ship with 4 smokestacks and told my parents, 'This is my ship, but she died.' I insisted my mother call me Tommy and spoke of 2 brothers, a sister, aunts, and uncles, none of whom my parents knew. There were also relentless nightmares, a huge ship." That doesn't make sense to me that this is the quote, so sorry. "Piercing screams, heated arguments, the frigid water stabbing at my body, a peach-colored mass of steel falling on me, and again and again, I would wake up crying." So the person he's having past life memories of was Thomas Andrews, who designed the Titanic.
Wow.
And there were several things. Like, he says he drew a ship with 4 smokestacks, but I know I've read before that one of the things that he told them was, like, when he drew it, there was only smoke coming out of 3 of the smokestacks. And they asked him about it, and he was like, "Oh no, the 4th one doesn't do anything. It's just for decoration." And that's true. The Titanic had 4 smokestacks, but only 3 of them were functional. The 4th one was just to make it look symmetrical.
Wow. There's probably more details associated with that particular case, but
so many details. And there was one where, and I think it's the same one, but again, I just quickly found this. But there was one where the child was having Titanic memories, and his sister found, it was either a game or like an online tour. I don't remember if there was a game involved with it or if it was just like a 3D tour, like they had reconstructed what the Titanic looked like.
Okay.
And he could navigate through the ship without any instruction and go to wherever you told him to go to on the ship. He knew where everything was.
Wow. That's fucking crazy.
And it's not uncommon.
Yeah, it's
that,
not.
I think, is maybe the most fascinating thing about it to me, is that it's not uncommon.
You better believe when Jack turns 2, I'm going to start to, like, kind of pull shit out of him. Tell me about your past life, child.
Come on, you got to have one.
It's got to be something good. There are a ton, and I mean, I was thinking, it's crazy that you wanted to do these stories this week, because I was thinking about starting a TikTok, like, little snippets of reincarnation stories, because they're fascinating.
And there's so many of them, and just talking about it, my friend, the same friend that I did his ghost story from Germany, his youngest son talked about when he was probably around 2 or 3, he said that he talked about being a fireman. And like the things that he said were, he said, you know, he said it kind of freaked me out. He's like, I didn't discourage him, but I also didn't necessarily want more details. He's
like, yeah.
It's kind of disturbing. But he said just the confidence in the way that he talked about it was different than a kid just playing pretend.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, I mean, like I said, there's just so many of them. But yeah, you could definitely make that a TikTok series.
I say I'm going to, and then I get on TikTok and I don't stop scrolling.
Oh yeah,
long enough to make a video.
I understand. Usually, if I'm making a TikTok video, it's very spontaneous and is not not even remotely planned out. As evidenced by the only TikTok videos I have, which are just complete nonsense.
I did a lot of TikTok videos one weekend, but I was like super stoned all weekend, and I feel like I had something else I wanted to talk about, but I can't. Oh,
I know the video that I tagged you in from Sarah Turney's TikTok.
Oh yeah, that was crazy. Have you followed that anymore? So like,
I have not seen any updates. I know that so they initially, the first video that I tagged you in was the, like, people started looking to see who the girl in the video could look. Okay, sorry. We should recap just a tiny bit.
Yeah, do that.
So if y'all don't follow Sarah Turney's TikTok.
I'm not explaining who that is if you don't know who it is.
Yeah, you know what? Fair enough. If you don't know who Sarah Turney is, like, please, just Google.
If you're a true crime fan, you know who Sarah Turney is.
You know who Sarah Turney is. So she posted a video that had been, I guess it just became viral because it was posted. Somebody noticed that in the background of this video, there's a girl who looks like she's been beaten up. Like, she looks like she has black eyes. Some people were saying that they thought it looked like makeup. I've watched that video a dozen times. I'm still not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but it's very creepy haunting. The way she's just like staring. It's like she's almost not even blinking.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden she like just like slow tilts her head up, which is just, I mean, honestly, part of me is like, was that meant to go viral? Was it just like creepy on purpose? I don't know.
Did you see the follow-up video? You must not. I think. Oh God. I guess I thought I tagged you in it. Another account.
What was the follow-up?
Okay. So another account, it's like a small account that was following the story, found that girl's, the girl that they claimed was missing, right? Haley.
Haley is the one that her parents, or her dad, I think, said that he thought it was his daughter.
Well, she came out. Haley came out on her own social media and said, yes, I know my parents thought I was missing. My mom knows where I am now. Yes, that is me in the video. I am fine. I had just been robbed. She looked like she was like cracked out in the video she posted on her Instagram. But she said, this is my phone. My mom knows where I am. She's probably still not in a safe situation. But she came out and said that was her.
Okay, then now I more think that it was intended to be creepy.
Yeah, I think so too. But she did, and in the video, she still has black eyes, and this whole eye on the inside is red. Like, the white part of her eye is red. Like, she had been hit really hard, but she's
so
like...
So it definitely wasn't makeup. That's when people were like, it's makeup. I'm like, I don't think that's makeup. Like, I was trying to look at it, and I'm like, sure, you could special effects makeup to look like that, but... It looked like bruises. I think what people were seeing is that she had hair kind of across her cheek and it looked like streaked makeup.
Oh, yeah.
But it was her hair. It was like the way her hair was hanging across her face. It was not streaky makeup for sure.
I just hope that she gets out of whatever bad situation she's in. But she says her family knows where she is and she's on social media. She's being active on social media. She's annoyed. Yep. Like, if I was in that situation and people were trying to, like, if my parents claimed me to be a missing person and people were trying to find me, I wouldn't be like irritated about it like she was. But
that's
anyway,
tricky,
I think
that's, I
don't,
amazing. Know the whole, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know her whole story. So
the power of social media.
Right.
It's crazy.
And once again, proof that just like, if you think you're not being filmed, you're probably being filmed.
Also, I know we talk about this a lot, and if you're not already in some of these, if you do partake in 420 friendly things, these groups, like I'm High and This Is True Crime and I'm High and This Is Conspiracy yeah. Theories are good groups, but our conspiracy theory group lately is pissing me off because we all know that the CIA released the like million page document of UFO, right? Of UFO information. Uh-huh. So of course it was posted in that group 20 times in the same day, which pissed me off. And then people are like, well, go to this page for more information. So I went to the page and he hasn't posted anything. There's no information.
I didn't leave that group, but I had to unfollow it because following the terrorist attack on the Capitol, the flood of, oh, but it wasn't really what it looked like. Posts were too much for me, and I was going to lose my shit with people. So I was like...
And so the thing about conspiracy theories, y'all, for a while. I like to consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but I don't drink the Kool-Aid. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, there are aliens, and yes, huh? Flavoring. Yes. Like, did you see the chart that was posted about the hierarchy of conspiracy theories?
Yes. And that is such a good reference point for people that I just feel like, yeah. I feel like the people who most need to read it are never going to pay attention to.
No, because they're right. Everything, they are brainwashed.
The thing that bothers me most in that group is anytime somebody says, this doesn't make sense because X, Y, and Z, the flood of responses from people that are like, why are you even in a conspiracy theory group? Like, I'm sorry, theory. Let's look up the meaning of this word.
And you, like, need to.
Just because you're interested in reading about these things does not mean that you have to believe in them wholesale.
Exactly. Like,
one, you can 100% believe in some and 0% believe in others. Or you can, like, 12% believe in all of it.
And it gives people like me and you such a bad rep because we claim on our podcast to talk about conspiracy theories, but we are not going to try and change your mind. We're not going to try and brainwash you, and we're not fucking mentally ill. I mean, in certain aspects, yes.
Which case, one, we're definitely going to try to change your mind, but two, we're 100% going to ignore you because that's just dangerous propaganda, folks.
Y'all get your shit together and get out of a cult. Call your dad.
You're in a cult. Call your dad.
And if you are the dad, call your daughter. Right. Because I guarantee you she's on TikTok talking shit about you.
And she is prepared to identify you if you storm the Capitol.
This world is crazy. I am a little freaking nervous for Inauguration Day because did you see the FBI director, his press conference?
I don't think I saw a press conference, but I don't know. He was just saying the one that I saw, he was basically just like, we're coming for you. We don't care if you've made it out of the DC area. I think that he watched The Town and he was like, I'm about to go into this press conference and sound just like John Hamm. We're a national organization.
I've never seen that.
It's really good.
Is it a show?
It's a movie.
Okay, I do like John Hamm.
And Jeremy Renner in it.
I do like John Hamm. He's got some great asset about him that I enjoy.
John Hamm is an FBI agent in it, and Ben Affleck is a bank robber. It's a really good, it's one of my, like, I can watch it anytime movies.
Okay, I will add it to my list. Have you seen Gone Girl? I'm sure you have. It's like one of my favorite movies.
It is one of the only movies that I can think of that I genuinely will tell people you actually don't need to read the book if you watch the movie because the movie is the book.
Also, that author, what was the author's name on Gone Girl? I have it on my bookshelf.
Gillian Flynn.
Yeah. There's another one that has been made into an HBO series.
Sharp Objects.
Yes. And it's both the book and the series are both really good. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I didn't, I watched that series and then decided I don't need to read this book, which is not like me. Normally I'm like, you have to read the book.
Yeah.
But hers are adapted so well that.
She's a great storyteller.
She is.
Yeah.
She really is. But yeah, and John Hamm's character in The Town is an FBI agent, and he tells Ben Affleck's character, you know, we're a national organization. And that was like the whole energy coming from the FBI director, like, I don't care where you are, we'll be knocking on your door.
Well, he was talking about how they have feelers out. I don't know if that was the exact word he used about chatter on the internet about what's going to happen on Inauguration Day. And it had me worried a little bit just because people are fucking nuts. I mean, I'm concerned. These people to try and assassinate the president. I wouldn't put it past them.
It does seem to me like the security measures are such that I don't really think it's going to be an issue, but I'm still concerned about it. And they closed the Texas state capitol. Starting today, they won't be open until after Wednesday.
I wonder if Alabama's like that. Probably not, because we're all stupid here.
Well, hell, apparently we're all stupid here, too. No, that's not true. A handful of Texas reps fell on the right side of the whole impeachment situation. But then, you know, there are the others.
There's always the others. I feel like we need to stop talking politics just for our mental health right now.
You're probably right.
Like, we attempted to record on my birthday, which was, that's how I get to remember my 30th birthday from now on, is the Capitol attack.
Yeah.
We attempted to record, and Susan texted me, and she was like, or maybe I text you.
I think we were both just like, I'm just mentally done.
Yeah.
I just don't have it in me.
I just couldn't that day. I just needed a chill, and it was horrible. I hate that that's how I remember that.
I know, period. That sucks so much.
It does. But, you know, that's life. Shit happens. Yeah. It's a fucked up world right now.
I mean, there are people who were born on September 11th.
Exactly.
That I have a friend whose birthday is September 11th. He's like, great. Now for the rest of my life. My birthday is now a national day of mourning.
It'd be even worse if your birthday was September 11th, 2000. 2001?
Yeah. Well, his is September 11th from like way before that. But it's like, I got to have a normal birthday for most of my life. And then... bam.
Yeah. Oh, man. That sucks.
It does. But, I mean, like you said, that's just the way it goes sometimes. So.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I'm going to go watch the updates on Sarah's page, though.
It's not on Sarah's page. That's the thing. It was on a smaller page. It was a small account. I should have.
I'm surprised Sarah didn't share it.
Go back and check on her page, because she might have,
hers is so big that unless I go to it for some reason, I don't usually see it unless I happen. The reason I even saw that is because I saw that she was live, mm-hmm. and when I looked, because I was like, she didn't go live that often. I wonder what's going on. And when I clicked on it, she was talking about that, and I'm like, what? So I went to look at her videos to catch up.
I wonder if she posted that on Twitter, because I do follow her on Twitter. Anyway.
Thanks for listening to us chatter at each other sometimes.
I think that's what makes this podcast so great is, yes, we do. And like one of our reviews said that we just got, like, we do talk about cases and we do a really good job talking about them. But we also are like friends and we talk and get to hear about side topics. So you're welcome.
Other just not necessarily case things. Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much. Girl, the reviews make me so happy.
They make me happy too, because we got some like really shit ones. And the thing about reviews is they'll stay there forever. And if you piss one person off, they could just fuck your whole review up. But anyway, if you like us, go leave us a review.
Like, the rating doesn't even matter to me, but like the individual reviews are so nice to read. Yeah. Anyway, thanks. If you posted a nice review for us, we appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay, so find and follow us at Wild Woke Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you're looking for bonus content, like our cult series, early episode releases, and free merch, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you have any weird, creepy, or wow, I can't believe this fucking happened moments, please reach out, because we want to share them at wildandwokepodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, all stories start somewhere. Be wild, stay woke, and question everything.